Osho, Vigyan Bhairav Tantra, Volume 1, The Book of the Secrets, A New Commentary, Discourse Number 27, given in Bombay, India.
I wonder whether you have heard about the concept of empty matter or not. A new concept has entered recently the world of physics. The concept of empty matter. It has been felt always that nothing can exist in the universe without its opposite. It is impossible to conceive anything which exists alone without its opposite. The diametrically opposite must be there whether known or not. The shadow cannot exist without light. Life cannot exist without death. Mind cannot exist without matter. Man cannot exist without woman or anything you can think. The diametrically opposite pole is inevitably needed. Now, this was always proposed in philosophy. Now, this is a proposition of physics. And very absurd notions have developed because of this concept. Time moves from the past to the future. Now, they say, physicists, they say that if time moves from past to future, there must be somewhere the opposite time which moves from future to past. Otherwise, this time process cannot be. It is. So the opposite, diametrically opposite, must be somewhere. Empty time. Moving from future to past. It looks very absurd. How something can move from future to past? They also say that matter exists. So empty matter must be existing somewhere. What will be the empty matter? Matter is density. A stone is here in my hand. What is that stone? Around it is space. And in the space, there is density of matter. That density is matter. What will be the antimatter? They say antimatter will be just a hole in space. Density is matter. Hole in space. Nothing in it. Space will be around it, but it will be just a hole of nothingness. They say empty matter must exist to balance matter. Why I am starting from this? Because the sutras that are to follow, they are based on this empty phenomena. Sound exists. So Tantra says sound can exist only because of silence, soundlessness. Otherwise, sound will be impossible. Silence is empty sound. So wherever there is sound, just behind it, there is silence. Just behind it, it cannot exist without it. The other aspect of the same coin. So I utter a word, for example, Om. The moment I utter it, just side by side, just behind it, is the empty phenomena, soundlessness. So if you can use sound as a technique to enter soundlessness, you will enter meditation. If you can use a word to go beyond words, you will move into meditation. Look at it in this way. Mind is the word. Meditation is no mind. Mind is filled with sounds and words and thoughts. Just by the corner, the other exists, no mind. Zen masters have called meditation the state of no mind. What is mind? If you analyze it, a process of thought. Or if you analyze it in terms of physics, then a process of sounds. This sound process is mind, then just near it the no mind exists. And you cannot move into the no mind without using the mind as a jumping board. Because you cannot even conceive what no mind is without understanding what mind is. Mind has to be used as a jumping board, and from that jumping board you can have a plunge into the no mind. There have been two opposing schools. One school is there, which is known as Sankhya. Sankhya says mind has not to be used. Because if you use mind, you cannot go beyond it. The same is the teaching of J. Krishnamurti. He is a Sankhyaite. You cannot use mind. If you use mind, you cannot go beyond it. Because the very use of the mind will strengthen it, will make it more powerful. When you use it, you will be in its clutches. Using it, you cannot go beyond it. So don't use mind. That's why Krishnamurti is against of all techniques of meditation. Because any technique is bound to use mind as a base. Mind has to be used if you are going to use a technique. Any technique is bound to be a sort of conditioning, a reconditioning, unconditioning, whatsoever name you give to it. But it is going to be with the mind. Sankhya says mind cannot be used. Just understand this and take a jump. But yoga says it is impossible. Even this understanding is to be done by mind. Even this understanding, that you cannot use mind, that no technique will be of help, that every technique will become a hindrance, and whatsoever you do will create new conditions. Using mind, you will move within mind. This too has to be understood by mind. So yoga says there is no way in which mind is not used. Mind will have to be used. It should not be used positively. It should be used negatively. It should not be used in such a way that it is strengthened. It should be used in such a way that it is weakened. And techniques are the ways to use the mind in such a way that you use it to jump beyond it. You use it just to go beyond it. As a jumping board. A jumping board can be used. If mind can be used as a jumping board, that's what yoga, tantra believe. Then something which belongs to mind has to be trained. Sound is one of the basic things. You can use sound to go into soundlessness. The third technique, intone a sound as Om slowly. As sound enters soundfulness, so do you. Intone a sound as Om slowly. For example, take Om. This is one of the basic sounds. A, U, M. These three sounds are combined in it. A, U, M are three basic sounds. All sounds are made of them, are derived from them. Combinations of these three sounds. So these three are basic. They are as basic as physics says electron, neutron, positron are basic. This has to be deeply understood. The Gurdjieff calls it the law of the three. Gurdjieff says, existence in the absolute is one. In the absolute sense, in the ultimate sense, there is only one law. But that is absolute. Whatsoever we see is relative. Whatsoever we see is never absolute. The absolute is always hidden. It cannot be seen. Because the moment we see something, it is divided. It is divided in three. The seer, the seen, and the relationship. I am seeing you. I am here, you are there. And between the two, the relationship of knowledge, of seeing, of vision, cognition, it is divided in three. The absolute is divided in three. The moment it is known, it becomes three. Unknown, it remains one. Known, it becomes three. The known is relative, the unknown is absolute. So even our talk about the absolute is not absolute. Because the moment we say the absolute, it has become known. So whatsoever we know, even the word absolute is relative. That's why Lao says it so much. The truth cannot be said. The moment you say it, it has become untrue, because it has become relative. So whatsoever word we use, the truth, the absolute, Param Brahma, Tao, whatsoever word we use, the moment we use it, it has become relative and it has become untrue. The one has become divided in three. So Guruji says the law of the three is basic for the universe we know. And everything, if we go deep, we will find. We are bound to find, will be reduced to three. This is the law of three. Christians have called it Trinity. God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Indians have called it Trimurti, three faces of Brahma. Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh. Now, physics says that matter is reduced if we move, if we go on moving through analysis to the very base, then matter is reduced to three. Electron, neutron, positron. Poets have said that if we go deep in search for human aesthetic feeling, emotion, then Satyam Sivam Sundaram, the truth, the good and the beautiful, human feeling is based on these three. Mystics have said that if we analyze ecstasy, samadhi, then Satchidananda, the existence, the bliss, the consciousness, the whole human consciousness, in whatsoever dimension it works, comes to the last three. Om is a symbol of the last three. A, U, M. These three are basic sounds, the atomic sounds, you can call. These three sounds have been combined in Om. So Om is just near the absolute. Just behind it is the absolute, the unknown. And Om is the last station as far as sounds are concerned. If you move beyond Om, you move beyond sounds. Then there is no sound. This is the last sound, Om. Three are the last. They are the boundary of existence. Beyond the three, you move into the unknown, into the absolute. Physicists say that now we have come to electrons. It seems we have come to the limit, the very limit. Because the electrons cannot be said matter. They are not visible. They have no material property. And they cannot be said non-matter also, because all matter consists of them, is constituted of them. So they are neither matter nor matter, what to call them. No one has seen electrons. They are just inferred. Mathematically assumed that they are there. Their effects are known. They have not been seen. Now we cannot move beyond them. The law of the three is the limit. And if you move beyond the law of three, you move into the unknown. Nothing can be said then. Even about electrons, very little can be said. Om is the limit as far as sound is concerned. You cannot move beyond Om. That's why Om was used so much. And it has been used not only in India, it has been used all over the world. The Christian Mohammedan Amin is nothing but Om in a different form. The same basic notes are there. The English words omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient, the word omni is a derivation of om. So omnipresent means one who is present in whole of the om, in whole of existence. Omnipotent means one who is absolutely potent. Omniscient means one who has seen the Om, the whole, the last three. The whole universe comes under it. Christians, Mohammedans, they have been using after their prayers, Amin. But Hindus have made a complete science out of it. The science of sound and the science of how to transcend sound. And if mind is sound, then no mind must be soundlessness, or, and both mean the same, soundfulness. This has to be understood. The absolute can be described in two ways, negative or positive. The relative has to be described in both the ways, negative and positive. Relative has to be described in both the negative and positive. The duality. Now, when you try to express the absolute, you can use either positive terms or negative terms, because human languages have two types of terms, negative or positive. When you are going to describe the absolute, the indescribable, you have to use some terms symbolically. So it depends on the mind. For example, Buddha would like to use negative terms. He will say soundlessness. He will never say soundfulness, because soundfulness is a positive term. Buddha will say soundlessness. But Tantra uses positive terms. The whole mind of Tantra is positive. That's why the term is here used is soundfulness. Enter soundfulness. Buddha will describe his absolute in negative terms. Sunya, nothingness. Upanishad will describe the same absolute as Brahma, absoluteness. Buddha will use nothingness, and Upanishads will use absoluteness. But both mean the same thing. When words lose meaning, you can use either negative or positive. Because all words are either positive or negative. You have to choose. That depends. You can say, habited soul, that you have become the whole. And this is a positive way of saying it. Or you can say, you are no more, you have become nothingness. This is a negative way of saying things. For example, if a small drop of water meets the ocean, you can say that the drop has become nothingness. The drop has lost its individuality. The drop is no more. This is a Buddhist way of saying things. It is good. It is right as far as it goes. Because no word goes very far. So as far as it goes, it is good. The drop is no more. That's what it means by nirvana. The drop has become non-being. It is not. Or you can use Upanishadic terms. They will say the drop has become the ocean. They are also right. Because when the boundaries are broken, the drop has become the ocean. So these are simply attitudes. Buddha likes negative terms because the moment you say anything positive, it becomes limited. It looks limited. When you say the drop has become the ocean, Buddha will say, the ocean is also finite. So the drop remains the drop. It has become a little bigger. That's all. Howsoever bigger, it makes no difference. Buddha will say it has become a little bigger, but it remains. The finite has not become infinite. The finite remains finite. So what is the difference? A small drop, a big drop. That's the only difference for a Buddha between ocean and drop. And it is right. Mathematically it is. So Buddha says, if the drop has become ocean, then nothing has happened. If you have become a god, then nothing has happened. You have become a bigger man. If you have become Brahma, nothing has happened. You are still finite. So Buddha says, unless you become nothing, unless you become sunya, empty of all boundaries, attributes, empty of everything that you can conceive, just emptiness. But Upanishadic thinkers will say that even if you are empty, you are. If you have become emptiness, you are still there. Because emptiness exists. Emptiness is nothingness, is also a way of being, a way of existence. So they say, why labor the point? And why unnecessarily use negative terms? It is good to be positive. your choice. But Tantra uses almost always positive terms. The very philosophy of Tantra is positive. They say, don't allow no. Don't allow the negation in it. They are the greatest e-sayers. They have said yes to everything. So they use positive terms. The sutra says, intone a sound as om slowly. As sound enters soundfulness, so do you. Intone a sound as om slowly. Intoning of a sound is a very subtle science. First, you have to intone it loudly, outwardly. Others can hear it. It is good to start loudly. Why? Because you can also hear it clearly when you intone it loudly. Because whatever you say to others, and this has become a habit, whenever you are talking to others, and you hear yourself talk only when you are talking to others. So it starts from the natural habit. Intone the sound om. Then, by and by, feel attunement with the sound. When you intone om, be filled with it. Forget everything else. Become the om, become the sound. And it is very easy to become the sound. Because sound can vibrate through your body, through your mind, through your whole nervous system. Feel the reverberations. Om, intone it. And feel it as if your whole body is being filled with it. Every cell is vibrating with it. Intoning is in tuning also. Tune itself, tune yourself with the sound. Become the sound. And then, as you feel a deep harmony between you and the sound, and you start a deep affection for it, and the sound is so beautiful and so musical, om. And the more you in it, the more you will feel yourself filled with a subtle sweetness. There are sounds which are bitter. There are sounds which are very hard. The om is a very sweet sound, purest. Intone it and be filled with it. And the more you will feel harmonious with it, then you can drop intoning loudly. Then close your lips and intone it inwardly. But inwardly also first try loudly. Intone inwardly, but loudly. So the sound spreads all over your body. Touches every part, every cell of your body. You will feel vitalized by it. You will feel rejuvenated. You will feel a new life entering you. Because your our body is a musical instrument. It needs harmony. And when the harmony is disturbed, you are disturbed. That's why when you hear music, you feel good. Why you feel good? What is music? Just harmonious sounds. Why you feel so well-being when there is music around you? And when there is chaos, noise, why you feel so disturbed? You yourself are deeply musical. You are an instrument, and that instrument re-echoes things. Intone Om inside, and you will feel your whole body dances with it. You will feel your whole body is under a cleaning bath. Every pore is being cleaned. But then, as you feel it more intensely and it penetrates you more, go on being more and more slower. Because the slower the sound, the deeper it can go. It is just like homeopathy. The smaller the dose, the deeper it penetrates. Because if you want to go deeper, you have to be more subtle, more subtle, more subtle. Crude, coarse sounds cannot enter your heart. They can enter your ears. They cannot enter your heart. The passage is very narrow. And the heart is so delicate that only very slow, very rhythmic, very atomic sounds are allowed to enter it. And unless a sound enters your heart, the mantra is not complete. The mantra is complete only when the sound enters your heart, the deepest, centermost core of your being. Then go on being slow, more slow, more slow. And there are other reasons also to make these sounds slower, more subtle. Because the more subtle a sound, you will need a more intense awareness to feel it inside. More coarse a sound, and there is no need of any awareness. The sound is enough to hit you. You will become aware of it. But it is violent. Musical, harmonious, subtle, then you will have to listen it inside. And you will have to be very alert to listen it. If you are not alert, you will go into sleep. And you will miss the whole point. And that is the problem with mantra, with any chanting, with any use of sound. It can create a sleep. It is a subtle tranquilizer. If you repeat any sound without being alert about it continuously, you will fall asleep. Because then repetition becomes mechanical. Om, om, om. It becomes mechanical. And then repetition creates boredom. And boredom is a basic necessity for sleep. you cannot get into sleep unless you are bored. If you are excited, you cannot get into sleep. That's why the modern life, modern man, is becoming by and by incapable of getting into sleep. What is the reason? There is so much excitement. It was never before. In the old past world, life was a deep boredom, a repetitious boredom. Go to a village somewhere hidden in hills. Life is a boredom. It may not look to you as boredom because you have not lived there, and on a holiday you may feel very much excited, but that excitement is because of Bombay, not because of those hills. Those hills are completely boring. Those who are living there, they are bored and asleep. The same thing, the same routine, with no excitement, with no change. Nothing happens ever. There is no news. Things go on as they have always been. They go on repeating in a circular way, as seasons repeat, as nature repeats, as day and night move in a circle. Everything moves in each old village in a circle. That's why villagers can fall into sleep so easily. Everything is just boring. Modern life has become so excited. Nothing repeats. Everything goes on becoming new, change. Life has become unpredictable. And you are so excited, you cannot fall into sleep. Every day you can see a new film. Every day you can hear a new speech. Every day you can read a new book. Every day something new is possible. This constant excitement continues. When you go to your bed, the excitement is there. The mind wants to be awake. It seems futile to fall into sleep. There are thinkers who are asking that this is sheer wastage. If you live for 60 years, 20 years are wasted in sleep. Sheer wasted. Life is so much excitement. Why waste? But in the old world, in old days, life was not an excitement. It was a circular movement of the same repetition. Anything that excites you means it is new. Be it a particular sound, it creates a circle within you. It creates boredom. It creates sleep. That's why Mahesh Yogi, transcendental meditation, is known in the West as a non-medicinal tranquilizer. It is. Because it is simple repetition of a mantra. But if your mantra becomes just a repetition without an alert you inside, alert you, constantly listening to you, listening to the sounds, it may help sleep, but it cannot help anything else. As far as it goes, it is good. If you are suffering from insomnia, transcendental meditation is good. It helps. But unless you use the mantra with an alert inner ear, and then you have to do two things. Go on reducing the mantra, reducing the sounds, making it more slower and more subtle, and at the same time, simultaneously, go on becoming more alert, more alert. As the sound becomes subtle, become more alert. Otherwise, you will miss the whole point. So two things have to be done. Sound has to be slowed down, and you have to become more alert. The more sound becomes subtle, the more alert you are. To make you more alert, the sound has to be made more subtle. And the point comes, sound enters soundlessness, our soundfulness, and you enter total awareness. When the sound enters soundlessness, our soundfulness, by that time, your alertness must have touched the peak. When the sound touches the valley, goes to the downmost, deepest center in the valley, your alertness has gone to the very peak, to the Everest. And there sound dissolves into soundfulness, our soundlessness, and you dissolve into total awareness. This is the method. Intone sound as Om slowly. As sound enters soundfulness, so do you. And wait for the moment when the sound has become so subtle, atomic, that now any moment it will take a jump from the world of the laws, the world of the three, and will enter the world of the one, the absolute. Wait. This is one of the most beautiful experiences possible to man, when sound dissolves and suddenly you cannot find where the sound has gone. You were hearing it subtly deep down, Om, 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 and then it is no more there. You have entered the world of the One, the world of the Three is no more. This tantra says soundfulness. Buddha says soundlessness. This is a way, one of the most used, one of the most helpful. Mantra became so important because of this. Because sound is already there, your mind is filled with sound, you can use it as a jumping board. But there are difficulties. And the first difficulty is sleep. Whosoever uses mantra must be aware of the difficulty. That is the hindrance, sleep. You are bound to fall into sleep. Because it is so repetitive, it is so harmonious, it is so boring, you will fall a victim. And don't think that your sleep is your meditation. Sleep is not meditation. sleep is good in itself, but be aware, if you are using the mantra for sleep, then it is okay. But if you are using the mantra for spiritual awakening, then beware of sleep. Those who use mantra, sleep is the enemy. And it is so easily happens. And it is so beautiful, because it is a different type of sleep. Remember that too. This is not ordinary sleep. When it comes through mantra, this is not ordinary sleep. This is a different kind of sleep. The grief have called it hypnose, and from hypnose the word hypnotism has been derived. In yoga they call it yoga nidra, a particular sleep which happens to the yogi, not to ordinary man. It is hypnose, an induced sleep. It is not an ordinary sleep. And the difference is very basic, so try to understand it. Because if you try mantra, any sound, this is going to be your problem. The greatest problem to face is sleep. Hypnosis uses the same technique to create boredom. The hypnotist goes on repeating a certain word, are certain sentences continuously repeated. You become bored. Or he gives you a light to concentrate on it. Seeing the light continuously, you get bored. In many temples, churches, people are fast asleep, listening to scriptures, they fell in sleep because they have heard those scriptures so many times. It has become now a boredom, no excitement. They know their story already. If you go on seeing the same film again and again, you will be fast asleep. No excitement for the mind, no challenge, and there is nothing to see. You have heard the Ramayana so many times. You can be asleep without any difficulty, and you can go on hearing in your sleep, and you will never feel that you were asleep, because you will never miss anything in the story. You know it all. Preachers' voices are very deeply sleep-inducing. Monotonous. You can talk monotonously in the same pitch. Then sleep happens. Many psychologists advise their patients of insomnia to go and to hear a religious talk. That gives sleep easily. Whenever you are bored, you will fall into a sleep, but that sleep is hypnosis. That sleep is the yoga tantra. And what is the difference? That is not natural. That is not natural. It is unnatural. And with particular attributes. One, when you fall asleep through mantra or through hypnosis, you can create any illusion easily. And the illusion will be as real as possible. In ordinary sleep, you can create dreams. But the moment you are awake, you will know they were dreams. In hypnosis, in yoga tantra, you can create visions. And when you will be out of it, you cannot say they were dreams. You will say they were more real than the life around. That is one of the basic differences. You can create any illusion. So if a Christian falls, he will see Christ. If a Hindu falls into hypnosis, he will see Krishna playing on his flute. It is beautiful. And the quality of hypnosis is this, that you will believe that this is real. That's the danger. And no one can convince you that this is unreal. The feeling is such that you know this is real. You can say the whole life is unreal, maya, illusion, but you cannot say whatsoever you have seen in hypnosis, in Yoga Tantra, that it is unreal. It is so alive, so colorful, so attractive and magnetizing. That's why if someone says something to you while you are hypnotized, you will believe him absolutely. There can be no doubt. You cannot doubt. You may have seen many hypnotic seances. So, whatsoever the hypnotist says, the hypnotized believes and starts acting. If he says to a man that you are a woman, now walk on that stage, the man will walk like a woman. He cannot walk like a man. Because hypnosis is deep trust. It is faith. There is no conscious mind to think, no reason to argue. You are simply the heart. You simply believe. There is no way not to believe. You cannot question. The questioning mind is asleep. That is the difference. In your ordinary sleep, the questioning mind is present. It is not asleep. In hypnosis, your questioning mind is asleep. And you are not asleep. That's why you can hear the hypnotist say anything to you. You will follow his instructions. In sleep, you cannot hear. You are asleep. But your reasoning is not asleep. So if something happens which is subtle to you, your sleep will be broken by our reason. A mother is sleeping with his child, with her child. She may not hear anything else, but if the child gives even a very slow sound, slow signal, she will be awake. If the child feels a little unease, she will be awake. The reasoning mind is alert. You are asleep, but your reasoning mind is alert. So even sometimes in dreams, you can feel that this is a dream. Of course, the moment you feel, your dream will be broken. This is absurd, you can feel, but the moment you feel, the dream will be broken. Your mind is alert. A part is constantly watching. But in hypnosis, or in Yoga Tantra, the watcher is asleep. That is the problem with all those who want to use sound to go into soundlessness or soundfulness, to go beyond. They must be aware that your mantra should not become an auto-hypnotic technique. It must not create auto-hypnosis. So what can you do? You can do only one thing. While you are using your mantra, while you are intoning your mantra, don't simply intone it. At the same time, be alert and also listen it. Intone it and listen it both. You have to do two things, intoning and listening. Otherwise, if you are not listening consciously, it will become a lulabi and you will fall into a deep sleep. That sleep will be very good. You will feel refreshed after it. Alive, you will feel a certain well-being. But this is not the point. You have missed the point. Second, the fourth, in the beginning and the gradual refinement of the sound of any letter awake. In the beginning and gradual refinement of the sound of any letter awake. Zen teachers have been using this technique very much. They have their indigenous uses. For example, if you enter a Zen master's hut, he may suddenly give a scream. You will become startled. But if you know why he is doing it, he is doing it just to make you awake. Any sudden thing makes you awake. Any sudden thing. Any sudden sound can make you awake. Suddenness breaks your sleep. And ordinarily, we are sleeping. Unless something goes wrong, we are not out of sleep. We go on sleep. We go on doing things, that's why we never feel the sleep. You go to your office, you drive the car, you come back to your home, you love your children, talk to your wife, so you think you are not sleepy at all. How can you do all these things in sleep? But do you know anything about sleepwalkers? Those who can walk in sleep. Their eyes are open and they are asleep. And they can do many things. And they will not remember in the morning that they have done it. They may go to the police station and report that something is wrong. Someone comes into my house in the night and someone is creating mischief. And they themselves have been found that in the night, in sleep, they walk and do certain things. And then they come back to their bed and fall asleep. And in the morning, they cannot remember what has happened. They can open doors, they can use keys, they can do many things. Their eyes are open and they are asleep. In a deep meaning, we are all sleepwalkers. You can go to your office, you can do certain things. You can come to your home. You will repeat the same things you have repeated. You will tell to your wife, I love you. And you will not mean anything by it. The words are just mechanical. You are not even aware that you are telling your wife, I love you. You are not aware. You are simply doing things as if fast asleep. This whole world, for a person who has become awakened, is the world of sleepwalkers. A Buddha feels that way. A Guruji feels that way. That everyone is fast asleep and doing things. Guruji used to say that whatsoever is happening in this world is absolutely what can be expected. Wars, fights, riots, murder, suicide. Someone asked Guruji, can something be done to stop wars? He said, nothing can be done. Because those who are fighting, they are fast asleep. And those who are pacifists, they are fast asleep. And everyone is going in his sleep. These accidents are but natural, inevitable. Unless man is awake, nothing can be changed. Because these are just byproducts of his sleep. He will fight. He cannot be removed from fight. Only causes can be changed. Once he was fighting for Christianity, for Islam, for this and that. Now he is not fighting for Christianity. Now he is fighting for communism, democracy. Causes will change. Excuses will change and fight will continue. Because the man is asleep and you cannot expect more. This sleepiness is broken. You have to use certain techniques. This technique in the beginning and gradual refinement of the sound of any letter away. Try with any sound, with any letter, Om. In the beginning, when you have not created the sound, awake. Or when the sound moves into soundlessness, then awake. How you can do it? Go to a temple. The bell is there, or the gong. Take the bell in your hands. Wait. First become totally alert. The sound is going to be there. And you are not to miss the beginning. First become totally alert, as if your life depends on this, as if someone is going to kill you this very moment and you will be awake. Be alert as if this is going to be your death. And if there is thought, wait. Because thought is sleepy. With thought, you cannot be alert. When you are alert, there is no thought. So wait. When you feel that now the mind is without thought, there is no thought, and you are alert, and the sound can be heard, then create the sound with the bell. Then move with the sound. Close your eyes. Look when the sound was not there. Then look when the sound was created, it struck. Then move with the sound. The sound will become slower, slower, subtle and subtle and subtler, and then will not be there. Then go on with the sound, aware, alert. moved the sound to the very end. See both the poles of the sound, the beginning and the end. Try it with some outer sound of a gong, of a bell or anything. And then close your eyes, utter any letter inside, Om or any. And then do the same experiment with it. It is difficult. That's why I said do it outwardly first. When you can do it outwardly, you will be able to do it inwardly. Then do it. Wait for the moment when the mind is vacant. Then create the sound inside Om. Feel it. Move with it. Go with it. Unless it disappears completely. You can do this, it will take time. Few months will be needed, at least 3 months. In these 3 months, you will become more and more alert, more and more alert. The pre-sound state after sound state have to be watched. Nothing is to be missed. Once you become so alert that you can watch the beginning and the end of a sound, through this process, you will have become a totally different person. This looks sometimes very absurd. So simple techniques, how they can change you. Everyone is so disturbed, in anguish, and the methods seem so simple. They seem like tricks. If you go to Krishnamurti and tell him that this is the method, he will say this is a mental trick. And don't be tricked by it. Forget it. Throw it. It looks apparently so. Obviously, it looks like a trick. How can you be transformed through such simple things? But you don't know they are not simple. When you do them, then you know they are very arduous. If you just hear me telling about them, they are simple. If I tell you that this is poison, take one drop of it and you will die. If you don't know anything about poison, you will say, what are you talking? Just a drop of this liquid and a person like healthy, strong will die. If you don't know anything about poison, then only you can say this. If you know something, you cannot say about it. This seems to be really simple, intoning a sound and then becoming aware in the beginning and in the end. But awareness is very difficult. And when you will try, then you will know it is not a child's play. Because you are not aware. And when you will try for the first time, you will know that you have been asleep your whole life. Right now you think yourself, you are already aware. Try this. With any small thing, try this. Try this that I will be awake, alert for 10 breaths and count the breaths. 10 breaths only. That I will remain alert and I will count from 1 to 10, the incoming breath, the outgoing, the incoming, the outgoing. I will remain alert. You will miss 2 or 3 and you will have moved somewhere else. Then suddenly you will become aware that I have missed. I am not counting the breath. Or you can count, but then in the When you have counted 10, you will become aware that I was counting in sleep. I was not alert. Alertness is one of the most difficult things. So don't think that these methods are simple. Whatsoever the technique, alertness is the thing to be attained. All else is just a help. And you can devise your own methods. But remember only one thing, alertness must be there. You can do anything in sleep, then there is no problem. The problem arises only when this is made a condition. Do it alertly. The third, while listening to stringed instruments, hear their composite central sound, thus omnipresence. The same. While listening to string instruments, hear their composite central sound, thus omnipresence. You are hearing an instrument, sitar, or anything. Many notes are there. Be alert and listen to the central core, the backbone of it, around which all the notes are flowing. The deepest current which holds every note together, just like your backbone. The whole body is held by the backbone. Listening to the music, be alert, penetrate the music, and find out the backbone, the central thing which goes on flowing, holding everything together with it. Notes come and go, disappear. The central core flows on. Become aware of it. Basically, originally, music was used for meditation, particularly Indian music, developed as a method for meditation. Indian dancing developed as a method of meditation. For the doer also, it was a deep meditation, and for the Idins also, it was a deep meditation. A dancer or a musician can be a technician. If there is no meditation in it, he is a technician. He can be a great technician. But then the soul is not there, only the body. The soul comes only when the musician is a deep meditator, and music is just the outward thing, and while playing on his sitar, he is not only playing on his sitar, he is also playing on his alertness inside. The sitar goes on outwardly, and his intense awareness moves inside. The music goes outwardly, but he is aware, constantly alert of the innermost core of it. And that gives samadhi. That becomes ecstasy. That becomes the highest peak. It is said that when the musician has really become the musician, he will break his instruments. Because then there are They are of no use. still makes his instruments. He is not a real musician yet. Just learning. Just learning. Because if you can play with music, with meditation, sooner or later, the inner music will become more important and the outer will become. Not only less important, ultimately it will become a disturbance. If your consciousness moves inside and can find the inner music, then outer music will be a disturbance. You will throw the guitar, you will throw instrument away from you. Because now you have found the inner instrument. But it could not be found without the outer. You can become alert with the outer easily. Once you have become alert, leave the outer and move inwards. Then for the listener also, the same. But what you are doing when you listen music, you are not meditating. On the contrary, you are using music, something like alcohol. You are using it to be relaxed. You are using it for self-forgetfulness. This is the misfortune, the misery. The techniques which were developed for awareness are being used for sleep. And this is how man goes on doing mischief himself. If something is given to you which can make you awake, you will use it to make yourself more asleep. That's why for millennia, teachings were kept secret, because it was thought it is useless to give techniques to a sleepy man. He'll use it for his sleep. He cannot do otherwise. The techniques were given only to particular disciples who were ready to take their sleep, who were ready to be settled in their sleepiness. Ostinsky dedicates his one book to George Gurdjieff as the man who disturbed my sleep. They are disturbers. Persons like Gurdjieff or Buddha or Jesus, they are disturbers. That's why we take revenge with them. Whosoever disturbs our sleep, we will crucify him. He doesn't look good. We may have been dreaming beautiful dreams, and someone comes and disturbs your sleep. You want to kill him. And the dream was so beautiful. The dream may be beautiful, or may not be beautiful. One thing is certain, it is a dream. And futile, useless. And if beautiful, more dangerous, because it can attract you more, it can become a drug. We have been using music as drug, dancing as drug. And if you want to use music and dancing as drug, then they will become not only drugs for your sleep, they will become drugs for sexuality also. So remember this point. Sexuality and sleep are together. The more sleepy the person, the more sexual. The more awake, the less sexual. Sex is basically rooted in sleep. awake, you will be more loving. The whole energy of sex will have transformed into love. The sutra says, while listening to strange instruments, hear their complete central sounds, composite central sound, thus omnipresence. And then you will know what is to be known, or what is worth knowing. He will become omnipresent. With that music, finding the composite central core, you will become awake. And with that awakening, you will be everywhere. Right now, you are somewhere, a point, which we call ego, the ego. That is the point where we are. If you can awake, this point will disappear. You will not be anywhere then. You will be everywhere, as if you have become everything. You have become the all. You have become the ocean. You have become the infinite. The finiteness is with the mind. The infiniteness enters with meditation. Enough for today.